Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Tuesday, September 13th. I'm Ray Graff. No, I'm Alan Chartok. Questions about the health of Hillary Clinton hit the front pages around the country and around the world this week after a widely seen video appeared online appearing to show the Democratic presidential candidate unsteady on her feet following a 9/11 memorial ceremony. It was later announced that Clinton was suffering from pneumonia. A Democratic congressman said today that the Democrats have, quote, no concern about Clinton's health. Joe Crowley of New York says there is not a single question about Clinton's health at a meeting today of House Democrats. But what about you? Should the health situation of the presidential candidates be an open book? Does the voting public have a right to know? We'll talk about this and other issues surrounding the race for the White House today on a Vox Pop open political forum. Hello again and welcome back to the Vox Pop WMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Democratic Congressman Joe Crowley of New York says Democrats have no concern about the health of Hillary Clinton. Crowley, who stood near Clinton before she had to leave Sunday's 9/11 ceremony, said the episode merely proves that she's a human being who is susceptible to colds, the flu, and pneumonia. And he says it's unfair to question whether Clinton should have revealed her diagnosis earlier, noting that Donald Trump has not revealed his medical or tax records. Meanwhile, three witnesses have refused to testify today before a House panel investigating Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server. Before I go on, I just want to mention that the phone number here is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. They're invoking their constitutional rights against self-incrimination. And then remember, the three witnesses have refused to testify today before a House panel investigating Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server. They're invoking their constitutional rights against self-incrimination. They include Brian Pagliano, the former State Department computer specialist who was assigned to set up Clinton's server. He didn't attend today's hearing. Two officials from a company that maintained the server after it was moved to the data center in New Jersey appeared at the hearing but invoked their right not to testify. And Donald Trump running mate Mike Pence is standing by his refusal to describe white supremacist David Duke as deplorable. Pence was asked at a news conference today with House Republican leaders whether he wanted to amend his statement from an interview in which he denounced Duke, but declined to call him deplorable. Hillary Clinton has used the term basket of deplorables, and we should talk about that today, to describe half of Trump's supporters. Pence said he was not going to validate the language that he says Clinton used to describe the American people. He called the issue a distraction. Lots to talk about today on the Vox Pop open forum. That's open political forum. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email the show at voxpop.org. So there you are, folks. And we've already heard from Lee. Lee, who says, okay, Hillary's pneumonia was to be gone by now since we've spent 3 days beating it to death. And that's Lee from Odina. 1-800-348-2551. And we go to Chuck in Hudson. All right, Chuck, you're on the air.
How you doing? I'd like to know why they always put people in office that are just about due to go to a nursing home.
I don't know. You know, you're talking to the wrong guy here. I'm sitting here at 75 years old, and I'm not thinking about going to the nursing home. Do you think?
Yeah.
You think you're coming?
They don't need no older person in an office like that. How long are they going to stay in office? You don't know what's going to happen.
Well, Ronnie Reagan was there for a long time. He was there for 8 years. What do you think? You think that proves your point?
Well, I think they need younger people in there.
Okay, good. I'm glad you called. Thank you very much, Chuck. Appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We go to Lisa in Oneonta. Lisa in Oneonta, what's up?
Yes, thank you, Alan, for having this discussion. I guess I'm so curious as to why you think the Republicans are focusing on this email issue when Dick Cheney left the Oval Office with something described as three-man-sized safes worth of documents that included the 2005 energy deal.
Don't you think, Lisa, that part of it is that they keep harping on it because it's all they got? And today the news is particularly bad, isn't it? That, you know, income has gone up, employment has gone up. I mean, how are you gonna deal with that? So go back to the nonsense, and they will continue to do that. What else you got to say about this?
Well, I mean, it is nonsense. I mean, I'm going to vote for her unless I don't trust the polls that tell me that she's probably going to win, because I'm a Jill Stein supporter because I like the Green New Deal, which is the Stanford Energy Plan, 20 million new green energy jobs. But, you know, I do think she's being picked on.
Well, you know, Lisa, there are those people who think Ralph Nader cost Gore the election.
I don't agree with that. There's some really good data that show that's just not the case.
Well,
if Al Gore had handled, but he didn't even take his home state.
Okay.
And he didn't take Arkansas. You know, if Al Gore had a decent campaign run by someone other than his daughter, for saying I think Al Gore could have won it on his own. But I don't agree that.
Okay, but Lisa.
Well,
thanks for your call, but I have to say, either you need another phone or I need another hearing aid. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye.
1-800-348-2551. We got three people on the phone. Get in line. We'll get to you as soon as we can. We'll go to Mark in Waitley. Okay, Mark, you're on. Go ahead, Mark.
Good afternoon, Alan. Great show. I wanted to ask you when, if ever, it was legal to not answer a congressional hearing. I always assumed that when they dragged you up on the hill that you had to answer or be, you know, like in contempt of court, so to speak.
Well,
so,
only, no, I think, and I'm not a lawyer, Mark, but here's what I think the deal is. If they are willing to bring you up and have you testify under a grant of immunity, and then you don't answer, then you're in trouble. But otherwise, okay. You have a right to plead the Fifth Amendment.
So it sort of takes the teeth away from these committees, apparently, doesn't it?
Well, if you remember Joe McCarthy, probably you don't. I'm real old. You would know that there are some reasons that some of these guys have teeth that are, to put it mildly, inappropriate. They're inappropriate.
Exactly. But
they're inappropriate teeth.
At the time that he was wielding his tyranny, was it in fact a criminal offense to not answer?
Yes. Oh, yeah. A lot of people went to jail. Sure. But only when they had a grant of immunity. In other words, Pete Seeger went up there and he refused to deal with them, and they want to put him in jail. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
and by the way, he was in jail for a day. And and he complained to his manager, Harold Leventhal, who I interviewed, and to his wife, Toshi, who also told me about this, said, boy, I was really ticked off that I was only a day. Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah, bye. Okay. And we'll go to, let's see here, Bill. All right, Bill. Go ahead, Bill. You're on.
Yes. Alan, I just wanted to make the brief comment that Clinton's statement that Trump's supporters, that half of them are deplorables, was merely an exaggeration.
Well, you can do it any way you want. Look, you're running for political office, Bill. You want to make sure that you don't say things that are inappropriate, because they will be handled. Even, let's say you're right and that it was taken out of context and it was exaggeration or it was humorous. Let me tell you something that I learned a long time ago. If you're writing, sarcasm cannot be understood in writing. You understand what I'm saying? I say, oh, yeah,
yeah.
Bill, but you can't. Look, she should have not done it, in my opinion. By the way, if you heard the tape, it was amazing because she said it to great applause, and everybody in that fundraiser thought she was terrific in doing it. But that in itself gets seductive after a while. And how do we know that she did wrong? Because she said she did. She said she should never have said half. That's where she went wrong. She said half of them. Well, you know, there are a lot of people who would rather not be called deplorable. So,
but considering all the things that Trump has said about all the Mexicans being
rapists, yeah. But two wrongs don't make a right, right, Bill? I mean, you know, you can't argue that what she said was excusable because of some because he can act like a jerk, right?
Well, that's true.
Okay, listen, I gotta go. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. All right, now. Let's see. I'm looking at this newfangled machine they have here. Yeah. Let's go to Brian on line number 5. Brian, you're on.
Dr. Chartok, an honor to speak to you.
And an honor to speak to you, Brian.
Thank you, sir. A quick question, and then I'll hang up. The Clintons are not amateurs. They've been at this a long time and
indeed,
probably the most polished politicians we've seen since 1990. What do you think of the mistakes? I mean, whether it's the emails, her deplorable comment, the secrets, the hiding of the pneumonia, they're not amateurs and new at this. Why do you think all the recent missteps?
Brian, don't you dare get off because I want to talk to you about this. Don't hang up. No,
okay.
I think you have a point. I think they both know how to play it very close to the line, and I think it's part of their character. And as I have said 10 million times, Freud said character is set by the time you're 4. And
right.
I don't think those things are changing. I mean, you look, Bill taking that chance in the Oval Office, which we all know about with Monica.
Absolutely.
And all the rest of that stuff, and Hillary having been advised, don't do this on email, but she does it anyway. Okay. Now, do I think it rises to why somebody should be president of the United States or not? No, I don't. But I do think that they both are I don't know whether you could say they amuse themselves by playing it close to the line, but they do, and I think it's part of their character.
I think you're right, Doctor, and I think we've seen it time and time again, whether it's the comments about President Obama during the 2008 election or the Monica Lewinsky situation.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. They continue to just toe the line as closely as they can. And
they do. They approach the line. On the other hand, don't get me started on Trump. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Doctor.
Right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Careers in Transition LLC Albany. Dr. Tom Denham providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume, and cover letter writing. CareersInTransitionLLC.com. Interim Healthcare, celebrating 45 years of in-home care, supports the Mohawk Hudson Land Conservancy's 17 Capital Region Preserves. Hiking and outdoor activities, InterimHealthcare.com. The Lathrop community, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for over 25 years. Independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley. Lathrop.kendall.org. Fulton County Tourism, hiking, biking, museums, shopping, leaf peeping, and more. Fall events include the Eagle Mills Arts Crafts Fair, September 17th and 18th. 44lakes.com for calendar. And the Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5. HydeCollection.org.
Thank you, Zachary. We're back, and we'll go directly to Anne in Ulster County. All right, Anne in Ulster, you're on.
Hi there, Alan.
Hi.
Just a quick comment on the previous conversation. Hillary said that she was sorry. She said that for saying half the Trump supporters were deplorable. Well, I think that was a backhanded apology. She probably meant to say all of them.
Well, I think she did. But again, Anne, my point here is you're a practiced politician. You know what's going to get you into trouble. You know, even I get into trouble every once in a while for something I said. So, and you could.
Oh, a lot of time. You should hear the. You should hear the responses here by me sometimes. And sometimes you do real good.
Thank you, Anne. So appreciate it very much.
But I have a couple questions you may not be able to answer, but maybe someone in the audience has an opinion.
Smarter than me.
Why wasn't Hillary taken out on a stretcher? If anyone got that dizzy, and especially since she's fallen before and got concussions, of all things, you'd put someone on a stretcher. You can imagine
what that would have looked like politically. They weren't going to do that.
Exactly. And it didn't do her health any good, I don't think.
Well, I don't know. The two guys, they were picking her up almost by the elbows. I mean, it was really quite scary for me.
Also, she was treated, they said, with antibiotics. And I wondered why some pneumonias treated with antibiotics and some with steroids.
Because I think some are bacterial. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I think the bacterial ones are obviously antibiotics. And I got to let you go because a lot of people on the line here. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks
thank you.
Lot. Bye, dear. All right. Let's go to Peggy from Niskayuna. All right, Peggy, you're on. Go, Peggy.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call, and I'm very happy to be on. I have a question for you. I think as a female politician, if she had spoken to the pain and sense of betrayal that some of Trump's supporters feel and highlighted her own policies that would rejuvenate the economy, and invited them to take a look at more of her policies. That would be, as my mother would always say, you getting more flies with honey. And as a female politician, it would play to what I think is the strength of women.
Well, Peggy.
What is your thought?
Well, you know, Peggy, she was appearing at a fundraiser, and she was revving up the troops, and they were whooping and hollering, and she was playing to it. Look, I know what that's like when you're taking chances. I've given a number of speeches in my life where I turn around and say, "I guess I shouldn't have said that. Nobody caught me, but I guess I shouldn't have said that." So she did it, knowing the context of where she was is very important in this. That's the whole point about probably why she made the mistake of saying it.
And, okay. I appreciate that. I just think she hasn't done enough of what I am saying.
Well, but Peggy, the interesting thing, yes. Just one second here. One second. Today, all these statistics came out. More people have jobs. More middle-income people have more money. That's going up, which is exactly what Trump has not been saying. So basically, what you're suggesting is a good idea, and she has plenty to work with. And let me tell you, I am sure that the president, who is on CNN right now, is saying exactly that. Look, this is what we Democrats have done in this country. Do you really want to fool around with that? You want to fool with success?
Except that her image right now could use some softening. It could use it could bring out some of her, as I said, feminine strengths.
Well, that's interesting. It's interesting you say that because I see it just the other way around. Okay. I think if she's a woman, they're going to paint her as, and Trump has tried this, to paint her as weak and not strong enough and all the rest of this stuff. If you take a look at the Indira Gandhis of the world and all the other female leaders, Bhutto and all the other female leaders who have done so well, they are all toughies. All toughies. They're not weak. They're tough.
But are they tough all the time?
Yes.
Can't be empathic?
Yeah, no, they're tough all the time.
That's too bad.
They're tough a lot, and that seems to work. Hey, Peggy, thanks for the call. Appreciate it a lot. Okay, let's go to Eli, our old friend Eli, one of Ray's favorite friends. Okay, Eli, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
So, Alan, my fear is that, Al Gore and John Kerry, very poor campaigners, even though they were much more capable, I feel, to be president than President Bush. I think Hillary seems to be following in that trend. Her campaign staff does not seem to be doing the job. I'm wondering if she can go pick up some of the people that Obama had who were fantastic as far as running a campaign. And, it's a sad thing that the campaign is what creates the victor, and it's not ability, knowledge.
Well,
this last gaffe was just unforgivable. She just should be sticking to facts. I mean, she could attack Trump by simply pointing out that the David Dukes, the white supremacists, are falling in line and adoring him. She doesn't have to attack, you know, middle class.
Okay,
American
no,
voters.
You know, I'm with you on that, Eli. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Ann in West Stockbridge. Okay, Ann, you're on. Go, Ann.
Hi. I thoroughly enjoyed what you just said about women running for office and that they can't try to pull on their feminine strengths, because that's, you know, obviously people don't want a woman as president.
Well, I think some do, but I'm just talking about style. I'm talking about the great female leaders from Margaret Thatcher on. These were people who really had to reassure the voters and the people who were electing them, including Golda Meir and Israel and everybody else, you know, that they were tough enough for the job.
Right. And so in any case, but the thing that I'm wondering about, and I think when Obama was first in office and Bush, who had started the war in Iraq, and he and Obama was dealing with the fallout, and very rarely did he, you know, say, wait a second, guy, you know, they blamed Obama for the war. They're blaming Obama for everything that's going on in the Middle East now, and we keep forgetting the fact that Obama just got handed it, and it was started by Bush. And then with Hillary now, they keep harping on the emails and the Benghazi, and I actually think, you know, she was correct in what she said about the Trump supporters. Whether she should have said it or not, that's something else.
You may believe she was correct, but she shouldn't have said it.
Right. So that's politics. But why does Trump get? I mean, we're not harping on the fact that Trump hasn't released his tax returns. We're not harping on the
No, a lot of people are harping on that.
But it just doesn't get the same publicity nonstop, or the thing with the charities, or the fact that his bankruptcy declarations, he walked away with everything he had started out with, and all the people who were involved, the underlings, lost everything. I mean, these are like, is that not character?
Yes.
Say something about his character that he's a liar. I mean, just in everything, and somehow he's still here.
You know, it is fascinating. It's fascinating. A lot of people think, Anne, that in the debate, Hillary is going to slaughter him. She is not. She's going to raise the substantive issues, and is going to say, no, nonsense. I'm all for better health care. How are you for better health care? I know I have a plan. I'll do it. Nixon said the same thing. I'll get it. And people will buy it.
I know. I'd love to hear. I mean, why don't we call him out? What is your plan?
She'll say that. And what is your plan? She'll say, you don't expect me. He'll say, you don't expect me to do that, do you, Hillary? I'm not going to run your campaign for you. Hey, Ann, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. All right, let's go to, let's see here. Let's go to Barry. He's been waiting a long time. Hey, Barry, thanks for holding on.
I got two comments, and then you're free, of course, to comment on them. One is that the most of the media, I think, deplores Trump, except for the Fox News, but they're the ones who have given him all this free publicity and have not subjected him to enough reviews. They could have gone and found out about his taxes and so on their own. Secondly, I don't know about Hillary and the emails. I don't think basically she violated any laws or did anything terribly wrong except looking foolish. But I do think the fact that she thinks she's entitled to privacy greater than the State Department network would give her, but that we are not entitled to have anything private from the NSA is a form of hypocrisy that personally upsets me. Thank you.
So wait. So who are you voting for?
That's something I haven't decided yet.
Really? Okay, Barry.
I'm certainly not going to vote. I will not vote for Trump.
Okay. And you live in Massachusetts.
I live here in New York, and I do. Unfortunately, talking about NARAs is irrelevant because it's an electoral system, and basically people are free to vote their conscience if it doesn't matter. And if it does matter, they've got to think very carefully about the political implications. Here in New York, if she can't win New York, she's done for. So I'm pretty much free to vote who I want for without being accused of throwing the election.
What if everybody said that?
I don't know if everybody wanted to say that, but in New York State, if it's a close election, I might have to reconsider, but I probably would vote for a third-party candidate.
Thank you, Barry. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Okay, it's 1-800-348-2551. There are four people on the line. That's very few. If you want to get in, this is a great time to get in. I'm telling you that right now. I'm here to tell you that. We've got a Mike who's been holding on and holding on and holding on. Mike, you're on.
Thank you very much. Just a couple of observations. It seems that both candidates have a problem that when their opponent does a gaffe, they can't let it alone and let that opponent wallow in it. Something happens and it deflects attention away from the gaffe back onto them.
Wait, Mike. That's an interesting point, but I want to ask you something. Isn't that exactly what Trump just did right? In other words, Hillary, his handlers must have told him, Donald, shut up, because, you know, you're going to say something about Hillary and her strength. You've already said that. You're going to look like a big bully. Don't do it. And he didn't do it. So he didn't do it that time. Don't you see?
It's the first time I've seen him not do it, and it surprised me.
Yeah, well, somebody up there is, look, if you're losing badly, and he was, and all of a sudden you get a new team of top advisors, and they come and say, you want to win, do what we tell you. And that's, I think, what's going on here.
And I'm surprised he listened. The second point I wanted to make was the campaigning we're seeing seems to be concentrated primarily in the battleground states, which suggests to me that each candidate has written off states that they perceive the other one has a lock on.
Now, that may be a mistake. For example, Texas, in recent polling, is 50-50. So go figure that. Texas, Republican Texas. So sometimes I think you have to reconnoiter when you take a look at the data and say, okay, then I got to start rethinking this, because if I can win Texas, that's a lot of votes.
Yeah. The point I'm trying to make is it just makes me wish they would finally get rid of the Electoral College, but I know it'll be a cold day.
That's correct.
Donkeys will fly before that happens.
Puff the magic dragon. That ain't going to happen. Thanks a lot.
You're right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's see. I'm looking at all this important data here. Okay, we'll go to Michael in Albany. All right, Michael, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for having me on. I just want to say about Hillary's deplorable comments. Right. I mean, everyone can say she should never have said it, but I think it's really fascinating that Pence and Trump are going around saying that she called every working class American or all their voters deplorable. Well, Trump is polling at around 40%-ish, and she said half. So either that's total electioneering or terrible math,
but first of all,
I found that interesting and was pointing that out.
First of all, I think it's closer than you think it is. I mean, I've seen a lot of polling that shows it somewhere between 3-5%. I saw one poll, maybe a Republican poll. I don't know. I mean, some people.
But it was like something like 41-42 or 44-43. So 40% of the people, and she said half. So now you're talking 20% of the people, and they're ballooning this up to everyone, and she's offending everyone. And that's the political ploy.
Okay, Michael.
That message.
You work with what you got. You know
right?
what I mean? Thanks a lot, Michael. Appreciate it.
1-800-348-2551.
Now we'll go to Charles. Charles, your time.
Good afternoon, Mr. Shaw Talk. How are you?
I'm fine.
It's an honor. I just have three subjects that I wanted to address. The first one was your demonstration of Reagan as somebody who, because of age, was okay with being president.
Right.
I don't know if you recall, but Mr. Reagan actually was suffering from early Alzheimer's in his second term.
I don't know about the second term, but I do know, of course.
Yes. There was a finding, and it was pretty much well revealed at the time that it was subsequent to that he was actually suffering from Alzheimer's in the second term. Mm-hmm. Not severe, but some level of Alzheimer's in the second term. Second, with regard to the Clinton supporters and making the comment about Trump supporters, I think it was a smart play, quite frankly, because it got it back into the news. That was a subject that kind of ebbs and flows in and out of the news. And I think this kind of keeps it on the in the news cycle for a time. so that it can be evaluated, because quite frankly, there was a study that was done recently of Trump supporters, and it showed just how xenophobic, racist, and everything else they were. And the numbers actually exceeded 40%, as the gentleman just said.
Charles, I'm going to make a contribution, which I'm sure is going to be poo-pooed by everybody. However, it does occur to me that if Hillary had said, look, these guys are deplorable, they're xenophobes, they're this, they're that, the other thing, that there will be people who will vote for her and not for him based on the fact that they don't want to be in that group. Do you know what I'm talking about? They want to avoid...
Absolutely. I think we agree on that.
They avoid that label. It's a possibility. Hey, Charles, great call. Appreciate it. All right. Now we're going to go to none other than Lynn in Ballston Spa. Lynn, you're on the air.
Hello, I'm here.
Yes, and I'm here too. You go ahead.
Okay. Now, I am definitely not a Hillary supporter. I think she's a lying piece of crap.
Hey, wait a second. We don't do that here.
She got thrown off the Watergate committee. Being dishonest.
Okay, go ahead. So your point is you're not for her.
But my bigger concern is why is she and mainstream media harping on Trump needs to do his tax forms, when on her tax forms it was pointed out that she went and donated millions of dollars, however the number was, to the Clinton Foundation, and the Clinton Foundation paid her and Bill millions of dollars. It's like they took it out of one checking account or one pocket and put it into the other pocket.
Well, I don't think anything there was illegal. You may make a point, and it may be a good point, that perhaps
I
you should...
I think it's not ethical.
Well, it might
Whether
not be
it's
ethical.
Legal or not is different. It's not ethical. We want somebody whose ethics are that much in question in the White House?
Okay, you made the point, and I appreciate your calling, and I appreciate your making that point. Thank you. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. The 1850 House Inn and Tavern, featuring Deck 435, waterfront dining in the center of the Hudson Valley, where the mountains meet the Catskills, the1850house.com. Colby Attorney Service, document filing, document and information retrieval, and other services, including legal publishing and corporate record searches. ColbyService.com. Gazebo, Northampton, Massachusetts, an independent lingerie shop specializing in bra and post-mastectomy fittings, providing support to the Pioneer Valley for almost 40 years. The-gazebo.com. And Old Castle Theater, Main Street, Bennington, Vermont, presenting John Morigello's The Consul, The Tramp, and America's Sweetheart, a story of how the German consulate tried to halt Chaplin's film The Great Dictator through September 18th. OldCastleTheater.org.
And thank you, Zach, for the great music from The Dating Game. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Zach is talking to himself. You know, the engineers pick the music. And then that's what happens. Okay. So anyway, we've got a Stephen in Highland, New York. Okay. Stephen in Highland. Go ahead, Stephen. You're on.
Hi, Alan. Nice to talk to you.
And to you.
I'm basically looking for some advice. I'm a lifelong progressive. I was a Bernie supporter, but I'm also a registered Democrat because I like to vote in primaries and try to push the party line further to the left when I can.
Sure, good idea.
And I listened to a recent episode of Alternative Radio where Ralph Nader was talking about how progressives, depending on where they live, could vote tactically or idealistically.
Yeah.
And he was suggesting that in a on the national level, a generally blue state like New York,
sure, I get it.
progressives could say vote for Jill Stein without worrying about Trump taking New York.
Yeah. So what's your advice? What advice do you need from me? You know what you're going to get.
Well, I have an idea, but I would love to take Ralph Nader's advice and do that, but I worry that because of Trump being who he is and being from New York, that New York is actually in play.
Well, no, New York is not going to be in play. Hillary is going to cream him in New York. I don't care what he says. Nevertheless, I think that there is something about the energy of an election, whereas if people are deserting, if the pollsters are showing it, and they will pick it up. So in other words, if Jill Stein is getting a lot of play and there's people saying, I'm not going to vote for Hillary, even if it's in a state like New York, it's not going to do the bandwagon effect any good. So my advice to you, since you asked for advice, is don't do it. Are you there? Uh-oh. Maybe he fainted. Anyway, it would appear not to be there anymore. Okay, so now we have a lot of people on the phone. I got to look and see who's been hanging on the longest, and that's Mary of Delmar on line number six. Mary of Delmar, you're on.
Yes, I think that Hillary Clinton is a good candidate that's being maligned terribly, uh-huh. and that the constant attacks by the Republicans are, causing a lot of the unfavorabilities. And yes, she's made mistakes, but I think it's nothing compared with some other candidates. And I just want to say about the comment about a basket of deplorables.
Yep.
When you see that a majority of, or 49% of Trump supporters say blacks are more violent than whites, and 48% say that blacks are more criminal than whites, and 46% say that blacks are ruder than whites, and 40% say that blacks are lazier than white, and 35% say that blacks are less intelligent, and 59% believe that Obama was not born in this country, and that 65% believe that he was.
Okay, I got it. So I got it. So what your point is?
I think that her comment was exactly right, and I think it's time that people told the truth about Trump. I think he's getting away with all these lies, and when Hillary tells the truth, people say, "Oh no, 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 no! You can't say that." And so I think it's time to take that mask off.
And when you think about it, Trump certainly says some outrageous things that don't get the kind of attention
yes,
that this
I mean,
has got.
His supporters believe in him because he says these outrageous mm-hmm. things.
Okay. I appreciate your call, Mary. Call again, okay?
Yep.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Now we're going to go to Casey. All right. Casey, you're at the bat right now. Go ahead. Casey. Hello? Hello? Let me try that again. Casey?
Are you there?
Casey, are you there?
Alan, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, I can hear you. Okay. So actually, also getting to the point of your last caller and Charles, clearly Hillary Clinton gets treated differently. There was an article by Jonathan Allen of Politico some time ago called Clinton Rules. And it's all about how Clinton and both Bill and Hillary for some time have gotten treated differently in the press, in the media, how their comments, how everything gets treated differently when it comes to anything that they say or anything that they do, when it comes to any comments that they make. And this has been going on for some time. And it's clearly very unfair. And, you will hear the media talk about this and say, oh, the media needs to handle this differently. And the media needs to do something different about this, as if they're not, as if they're talking about somebody else and not themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's incredibly unfair. But one thing that drives me absolutely insane is that the Democrats do this to themselves. They run away from their own comments. And I agree with your previous callers that, the campaign should not have run away from this comment. The campaign should have leaned into this because it's true.
Well, it wasn't helping. Casey, first of all, I want you to know I always love it when you call. Secondly, we miss you. You haven't been around for a while. I don't think. But also, Hillary didn't do herself any favors because she took it back.
I know. I agree. And this is a pattern of Democrats. They walk these comments back when they are absolutely the truth. And they do this sort of halfway commitment thing. And it drives me absolutely insane. You never see Republicans do this. You know,
oh, well, no, you do. You do.
Make a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, when Republicans make a mistake, they lean into these things.
Yeah.
You know, they say you're damn right. And
Casey.
And they absolutely lean into it. And that's what she should have done. The campaign should have leaned into this comment.
Okay, you said that. Thank you, Casey. I appreciate your call. Call again, please. I love it when you call. All right, let's go to, let's see here now. Ruth in Lee. Hi, Ruth in Lee.
Hello, Alan. My statement is a statement rather than a question. At 38 and taking care of little children and had pneumonia, I collapsed, and they took me out on a stretcher, and I was in the hospital for 4 days.
Okay.
I admire Hillary at her age for trying to fight through this and take care of herself.
Sure. That's a good statement. I get it.
I think so. Yes, because at her age, much different than mine was. Okay?
No, I have a question for you. You live in Lee, right?
Correct.
Now, I'm having a heck of a time. It's more than I want to talk about from Easy Pass. See, because they won't renew it because I gave them. They had a new credit card. It's all a big mess. But they said they set up a new Easy Pass office in Lee. Is that true? Do you know about that?
Oh, I don't know. Went through AAA and got my Easy Pass.
I'm going to check it out. Thank you, Ruth. Appreciate your call. Bye. Okay. And now we'll go to Bob in Albany. All right, Bob, you're up.
Hi, Alan. I just wanted to comment on something you said earlier to a caller who said that Hillary was going to wipe Trump up in the debates, and you said it's not that going to be easy because he's just going to say it's a secret and I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to do X, Y, or Z. I think you're right, but I think there's still a real opportunity for her there because she can attack him on the costs of his plans. He's on record about the tax cuts he wants. He's on record about $150 billion he wants to spend on the military, about a dozen other things that he's spending money on, but not at all about how he's going to pay for it.
Well, no, because he's going to turn around, Bob, and he's going to say, yeah, I get all of that, but I know what I'm doing. I'm a businessman. I've been in business all my life. I've put up hotels. I put up motels. I've done all of this stuff. That's what he's going to say. The people who like him are going to shake their heads and say, that's my man. And the people who
remember
don't like
that
him, yeah.
The way he's done that for himself is by going into debt. And you're talking about somebody who's claiming.
I know it, you know it, but the people who are listening are ones who have to be convinced. Don't you see? As Festus would say, don't you see?
The independents, I think, will listen to an economic argument where his answers to how he's going to pay for things are sheer gibberish.
Yeah.
Or have been tried before by Republicans who've cut taxes swearing it's going to jack up the economy, and just the opposite has happened over and over.
Yeah, well, all I remember is that when they asked those kids in the high school test a couple of years ago where the Pacific Ocean was, they didn't know. So I hope you have more faith in the intellect of the people who have been watching this than I do.
Those kids aren't independents.
Maybe they are. Thank you very
Maybe.
Much. Bye. Okay. Let's see here. Let's go to Kenny on line number 3. Kenny, you're on. Go.
Yes. I'm calling about how come nobody's brought up the emails that Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice had. They both had private email servers, and nobody said anything about that.
All true.
They talk about Hillary Clinton erasing emails. George Bush and Dick Cheney erased 30,000. Emails. I mean, 30,000 emails they erased, and nobody says anything about that.
But do you really think, Kenny, do you really think that that's what's going on here? You know, that you can make an intellectual argument about who did, who didn't? You know, these guys, Goebbels said it best. You say it over and over and over and over again. Pretty soon people begin to salute.
I understand that, but I don't understand why the Democrats. I have a sister that's a staunch Republican.
Yeah.
And she keeps telling me, and I ask her, well, don't you? What do you feel about hypocrisy? I can understand that, yes, she did use a private email service, but Colin Powell told her to. And told her how to do it.
He said so.
And nobody brings that up. I mean, was one of the emails that was brought up in the last 13,000 that were brought up.
All good points, Kenny. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. Let's see here. Let's go to, Linda's been hanging on a long time on line number 7. Linda, you're on.
Linda. Is this Linda in South Hadley?
That's the one.
Okay. I was calling about a number of your listeners remarking that they were going to vote for a third-party candidate in those blue states because they didn't think it would be an impact. I'm in Massachusetts, reliably blue state.
Me too.
Originally, I was thinking I would do that also.
Yeah.
However, the more I see, the more I realize that Hillary Clinton has to get a big popular vote. She's got to get a mandate because if she's within 2 or 3 points of Trump in the general election, regardless of what happens with the Electoral College, she will not be able to get anything done, and all this drip, drip, drip of all these right-wing people will continue and say that let's say that she wins 50 to 47 or something like that.
Yeah.
People will say, forget about you, Hillary. You didn't, almost half the people don't want you.
Linda, you make a good point. But here's, I think, as a supplement to your point, I don't think I explained it well enough before, but let's say the pollsters are out there just doing the popular vote, not the electoral vote, not the rest of the stuff, and show that it's a very close election because some people say they're going to vote for Jill Stein or for somebody else, right? Well, what happens then is that people lose faith that their candidate is going to win. They get, they start to drop off. They're not motivated. The rest of it. So I think that's what you've said is correct about getting stuff done afterwards. But I think about getting elected is important. That she has a big margin.
You're right. I mean, right now I'm very, very concerned that it's so close, and the way things are going, that it could trip very quickly.
Okay, Linda, we're almost out of time. I got to let you go. Thank you very much. We'll go to. Derek. Derek, you got to keep it short. Go ahead.
All right. Just real quickly, I agree with the last caller, but I also feel like people need to understand that the worst case scenario if a Trump presidency happens versus a worst case scenario if a Hillary presidency happens are drastically different. And the unfortunate part of it is people just follow the media and they're not looking into actual policy and where these two candidates stand.
Do you know where what Trump stands? Because I don't.
No, exactly. I don't.
Yeah.
I have no clue. And that's the scariest part about it. At least I know, and I could read the information about Hillary Clinton. And that's what scares me the most about our public is I think that a lot of people don't do that.
Okay, Derek, thank you very much for your call. We'll go to very quickly to line number 6 and Bob in Cobleskill. Bob, you only have a second or two. Go ahead.
Okay, just a quickie. Trump Foundation, he hasn't put a penny into it since 2008. All the money that's in the Trump Foundation is from individuals and other foundations that he reroutes under his own foundation and under the Trump Foundation name. It can be found on the Washington Post website. It's very, very interesting.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Let's go to Ada in Albany. All right. Go ahead. Very quickly, you got a couple of seconds.
I'm really calling because I was very upset about the deplorable epithet that one of your earlier caller said about Hillary.
Yeah, okay, so forget it.
I'm happy that you stopped her because the truth of the matter, we're a classy station.
We are. You're so right.
I like deplorable statements being said like that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I think that the lady forgets that Mr. Trump or the other candidate has not told us about, has not divulged his taxes, which everybody knows, his health record, and how he cheated a lot of contractors out of their money. And meanwhile, his bank account did not go down one iota.
Okay, thank you for that. And let's go to Sue in Billington, Vermont. Go ahead. Bennington, maybe. Go ahead, Sue. You're on. Sue. Hello, Sue. No, Sue's not there. Okay, we got a lot of email during the show. I can't read it all, but Dr. Shartok, I do believe that Hillary will slaughter the Don in the debates if and only if the moderators hold him to the substantive issues rather than allow him to his filibuster-like diatribes that he'll be pontificating. And then we heard from somebody else who said Hillary's pneumonia was gone by now since we've spent 3 days beating it to death. That was a little joke. Okay. And on and on. People are just very interested in this election, and we are too. So thank you all for calling. This has really been a very good program. And I have to find the right sheet here. Okay, we're out of time. Thanks to everybody. Support for the Vox Pop comes Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through their corporate branding, web design, and in development and graphic design for almost three decades. ShannonRose.com. Union Gables Mansion Inn, Saratoga Springs, providing hotel amenities in a historic bed and breakfast setting with a heated pool, wraparound porches, and private balconies. UnionGables.com. Dr. Lucy Chapik at Latham, New York, plastic surgery dedicated to cosmetic surgery, laser treatments, and minimally invasive facial rejuvenation since 1996. A surgeon's hands, a woman's touch. 518-786-1700. Tom McRae, Edward Jones Financial Advisor on University Drive, Amherst, Massachusetts. Member SIPC. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. EdwardJones.com/Tom McRae. Everybody, thanks for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WMC.org/Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Chekai. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.